Tesvov Tammuz, Thursday the 18th of July, Rabbi Pini Dunner, Morning Yerushalayim, 2,000 years after its destruction.
Where am I speaking from?
From the Imam.
Morning everyone. Just waiting for the Gemara Makkos, if someone can give me.
Don't know by heart,
thank you. We are imminently going to be commemorating the breach, thank you, of the walls of Yerushalayim. In fact, Chazal give us five reasons as to why we fast on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. I'm only going to discuss two today. The first one is that the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. I do want to begin with this even before I start talking about Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Today is the yahrzeit of my late father, Avraham Moshe ben Marina Rav Yosef Tzvi HaLevi. He was nifta 8 years ago. It's hard to believe that he was nifta so many years ago, but I go every day. Never a day goes past without me thinking of him. I just want to tell you something that happened a few weeks ago, months ago, which, just to illustrate the remarkable man he actually was. I live in Los Angeles. There's a very large Persian community in Los Angeles, Persian Jewish community. It's now 40 years since the revolution in Iran. And for some reason, there was quite a large group of Persians who were already Persian Jews living in Los Angeles. And as a result of the revolution, many more came, and now there's a very sizable Persian Jewish community living in Los Angeles. Anyway, I went, some members of my shul, I'm a rabbi in Beverly Hills, some of the members of my shul are from the Persian Jewish community, and one of them had a yahrzeit, not actually in my shul, but in a Persian shul in the valley, which is quite some distance from where I live. And I went to the shul, I was one of the speakers, and another one of the speakers was a man I'd never met before, his name was Rabbi Zadmir. And I inquired, he was a very passionate speaker, I didn't understand one word that he said, it was all in Persian, but I inquired, who is he? So they said, do you remember some years ago, there was a group of Persian Jews who were arrested in Shiraz and thrown into jail, and they were accused of spying for Israel. I said, I remember it very well. Does he speak English? So they said, he speaks not very well. He came here a few years ago. He doesn't speak English very well. They introduced me to Rabbi Zadmir. I said, I want to ask you a question. When you were released, did they tell you why they released you? He said, no. He said, we were in prison. I can't remember how long it was, a year. And they didn't all get released at the same time. But at some point, a group of them was released, and then there was another group that was released later. So I said, I'm going to tell you a story, and perhaps you know it, or perhaps you don't, but you'll know it from now. My father was the director of an organization called the Conference of European Rabbis. And he organized a delegation of rabbis to meet. They used to meet every half a year. I think they may still do that, for a standing committee meeting. And he organized for them to meet in a country called Kazakhstan. Anyone here been to Kazakhstan? I've never been. Kazakhstan is somewhere in the deepest, darkest depths of the former Soviet Union. It's a dictatorship. The capital, I believe, is a place called Almaty. And he organized this trip. And he insisted on having a meeting with the president together with a delegation of rabbis. And they had this meeting. I have photographs of it. They dressed in the national dress of Kazakhstan, which is a very strange-looking costume. And all the rabbis were photographed together with the president. And my father said to the president, I'd like to have a few words with you, if I may. And the president said, what can I do to help you? And he said, tomorrow, we're leaving tomorrow, but in the afternoon, the president of Iran is coming to visit. His name is Ahmadinejad. He said, yes, that's right. He said, it's a very important thing that I need you to ask him. There's a bunch of innocent Jews in jail in Shiraz, and I'd like you to make sure that you mentioned whatever it is the negotiation is between you and Iran, this was some type of trade negotiation, that you make as a condition of that negotiation that he releases those innocent Jews in Shiraz. And they left. The following day, the president of Iran came for a state visit to Kazakhstan, and the following week, the prisoners were released. And I told Rabbi Zadmir this story a few weeks ago, or months ago, in Persia. He'd never heard it. It was the first time he discovered as to why it was that he'd been released quite suddenly from jail in Shiraz. I just want to mention that. Zochur Latoiv to my father, his neshama shedav naliyah, we should be zeicher to see Techiyas HaMeisim. So back to Shiva Osor B'Tammuz. On Shiva Osor B'Tammuz, we are commemorating five separate events in Jewish history. Chazal tell us, it's quoted in all the Sfarim of Sifrei Halacha. Two of those reasons are, one I mentioned already, the breach of the wall of Yerushalayim, and another one is that, I don't know if it was in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash or the first Beis HaMikdash, they put a tselem baheichal. What is a tselem? Anyone know what a tselem is? Some type of pagan effigy. Not quite sure what it was. It's not recorded as what it was. Which particular pagan effigy they put into the Beis HaMikdash. But as a result of that, that's one of the five reasons that we're going to be fasting in a Nitre this year on Sunday, on Shiva Osor B'Tammuz, should have been Shabbos, we push it off to Sunday. 3 weeks later, we're going to commemorate the destruction of not one, but two temples in Yerushalayim. One of those temples was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bovel. The other one was destroyed by the Romans after a terrible siege, and as a result of which we do not have a Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yochanan of Ben Zakkai was smuggled out of Yerushalayim. Tamli Yavne v'chachomeho, he said to Titus, as a result of which, Baruch Hashem, we can still observe Yiddishkeit. They created the Yiddishkeit in which the Beis HaMikdash was there, in our minds, in our hearts, but somehow we can still be observant, religious Jews, even without the existence of a Beis HaMikdash. I want to come back to Shiva Osor B'Tammuz. They put a tselem b'heichal, terrible. No question about it. Had the Beis HaMikdash not been destroyed, it would have been one of the worst things that ever happened in Jewish history. They breached the walls of Yerushalayim, murdered, no doubt, thousands of Jews until they came to the walls of the Temple Mount. Had the Beis HaMikdash not been destroyed, one of the most terrible, devastating things to have happened in Jewish history. But come on, guys! The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Why are we commemorating placing a tselem in the heichal when really what happened, which is so terrible, is that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Who cares if the walls of Yerushalayim were breached? If 3 weeks later the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, surely our focus should be the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Shiva Osor B'Tammuz is an utter distraction. Talking about Tselem B'Heichal is talking about something which is not relevant to us, because really what we are concerned with is Binyan Beis HaMikdash b'mheira v'yomenu.
You can say Amen, but it doesn't mean I finished my drosha. I'm going to park that question for a moment. I want to talk about something else. Some years ago, I'm sure you remember my Zayda, Rav Dunner. Some years ago, a few years before he was nifty in 2007, on Erev Pesach, Yud Dalad Nissan, 2007. A few years before that, I discovered that he'd never been to visit the Kosel. Are you aware of this? You ever heard this before? Rav Dunner never went to visit the Kosel. Now, I have to tell you that when I heard this from one of my cousins. You know, he used to go every single year to bake matzahs in Yerushalayim. He never slept overnight in Yerushalayim. He always used to go back to Bnei Brak. And he never went to visit the Kosel. This is what I heard from one of my cousins. And I couldn't work it out perfectly, but I'm assuming that at some point in the early 1960s, he became the Rov of the Kehillah in 1960. That's when he began with baking matzahs. He went at least once a year to Eretz Yisrael, and probably twice, and maybe even three times. So let's assume he went 100 times to Eretz Yisrael. What? Before? Yes? Yes. And originally it was in Carlisle. You know what? I'm willing to compromise with you. He only went 75 times to Yerushalayim. The point is, every single time he went to Eretz Yisrael, he went to Yerushalayim. He never went to the Kosel. I was very intrigued by this. And the next time I saw him, I said, Grandpa, will you tell me why you've never visited the Kosel? And he told me something in my mind. I thought, it's very cute. It's very nice. And I can definitely relate to it. But it doesn't make much sense. He said to me, in my mind's eye, I picture Har HaBayis with the Beis HaMikdash. And I'm going to come, and I'm going to see a broken wall, some tourist attraction, and it's going to completely shatter my image of Har HaBayis with the Beis HaMikdash. And for that reason, he never went to visit the Kosel throughout his time, when he had the ability to do so, no matter how many times he visited Eretz Yisrael. I carried this in my mind. He was nifted in 2007. But roughly 8 or 10 years later, I went to visit my son in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And I stayed. That Shabbos, I was invited to friends. Very interesting people. Abba and Pamela Klayman. They live in the old city of Yerushalayim. They've combined three apartments together. And they run Shabbatons for Chiloni soldiers. When I came Friday night, there was an officer class, I don't know, some type of group of Israeli army officers, and they were teaching them about the Parsha and about Yerushalayim. It's fascinating. They had them all for Friday night dinner. I stayed there for Shabbos. From the window of their apartment, it's not more than 200 yards to Har HaBayis. You can see Har HaBayis out of the window. You can sit on the Mirpeset. And you can actually look at Har HaBayis from the Mirpeset, from the balcony. Friday night, I'm sitting there with these soldiers. We made Kiddush. I'm looking at Har HaBayis. Shabbos morning, I come out, have a cup of coffee, looking at Har HaBayis. And at some point, I said to my wife, I can't stay here anymore. I physically cannot be in this location anymore. I'm leaving. And I went to my hosts. And I said, you know, I'm not sure how to tell you this. I cannot look at Har HaBayis. Because there's these two giant mosques, which are sitting on top of Temple Mount. And I find it extremely disturbing. I just can't look at it. It's the Mokom HaMikdash. I said, I don't know how you can live here. I've never thought about it before. I said, I don't know how you can wake up every morning, say, you know, to your husband, hello, darling, have you made the coffee yet? And you're looking out of your window and you can see
Harabayis b'chulbona. How is it even possible?
I want to read to you a Gemara from the end of Makkos. Just made my son's bar mitzvah. He made a siyum together with me on Maseches Makkos. And this week, in fact tonight, in Lakewood, my other son is making a siyum on Maseches Makkos. I want to read you the end of Maseches Makkos. It's a famous story. It's a story about Rabbi Akiva and his friends. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Four very distinguished people. They obviously had a walking chavrusa. They used to go on hikes together. You know they were, do you know these people were? Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi of the Sanhedrin, the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. He was descended from Hillel. You know Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was? When Rabbi Gamliel was deposed for a brief period of time, as a result, by the way, of how he treated Rabbi Yehoshua, do you know who they chose? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. We say in the Haggadah, Hare Anika ben Shivim Shona, he was 18 years old. Do you know who Rabbi Yehoshua was? Rabbi Yehoshua was one of the greatest of all the Tanoim. Patient, wonderful. There's a story in the Gemara about how he went to Alexandria. They asked him the most ridiculous questions. Every single one of them he answered patiently. How many times do we see his name in the Mishnah? Rabbi Akiva, I don't even need to tell you who Rabbi Akiva was. Rabbi Akiva, at the age of 40, a highly intelligent, uneducated individual, a shepherd, who decided he's becoming a frum Jew, learnt and became the leading light of the Tanoim. We say, Stam Mishnah ke Reb Meir. Who was Reb Meir's Rebbe? Reb Meir's Rebbe was Rabbi Akiva. Our Judaism is completely determined by Rabbi Akiva. These four great rabbis, they used to go walking together. They went to Har HaTzafim, Mount Scopus. They're walking, they continue to walk onto Har HaBayis. Whether it was on, it's a machlokes, where they walked on Har HaBayis or near Har HaBayis and they could see it. Either way, they're looking at Har HaBayis. Do you know what Har HaBayis looked like at the time of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? It was a barren field. It had been ploughed over by the Romans. And they're watching Har HaBayis, and they knew, we don't know, but they knew exactly where the Kodesh Kodoshim had been. And they see a shual, a fox, running out over the place where the Kodesh Kodoshim was. And Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, they burst into tears. They're weeping. And Rabbi Akiva begins laughing. Why is he laughing? They say to him, what are you laughing about? Let me see if I can find it in the Gemara. Says Rabbi Akiva, says here, Hischilu hein boichin, Rabbi Akiva metzachek, Amru loy, Mipnei ma ato metzachek. Omar lohem, Mipnei ma atem boichim. I'm the fool? You are idiots. You're crying. Why are you crying? Amru loy, Mokoim shekosuv boi vazor, Hakarev yumos. This is the place the Pasuk tells us that an ordinary person goes into that place. He will surely die. V'achshav shu'olim holchu boy. And now foxes are running through it. How is it possible that you don't cry? V'loi nifke? Omar lohen. Lokach ani metzachek. It is for exactly this reason that I find this amusing. It makes me happy and it brings me joy. Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, it's a Pasuk in Yeshaya. Va'ida li edim ne'emonim esuria koyen ve'zecharia ben yevarchayahu. What does it say? I will testify before you. These edim will testify. Edim ne'emonim. Who are the edim ne'emonim? One is Uriah. One is Zechariah. V'chima inyan Uriah itzel Zechariah.
Anybody who knows their Jewish history? By the way, you only know Jewish history if you didn't go to a Jewish school. Anybody who knows Jewish history will know that Uriah was in Bayis Rishon and Zechariah was in Bayis Sheni. How is it possible that Yeshaya would mention these two people in the same pasuk? Please don't answer he went to a Jewish school. That's not the point of the question. How would he mention it? These two names, they're inappropriately connected in this pasuk. V'chimayyan Uriah itzel Zechariah asked Rabbi Akiva, Uriah v'mikdash rishon, u'Zechariah v'mikdash sheni. Elo tolo ha-kosuv nevuosei shel Zechariah v'nevuosei shel Uriah. The reason why is that Yeshaya wants to connect the prophecy, the living word of Uriah, to the living word of Zechariah. In what way? Be'Uriah k'siv, Lochein biglalchem tzion sode techrash. Says Uriah to the nation at the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, you know guys, because of your behavior, Tzion, Mount Zion, will be plowed over, it will become a field. You won't even see any zecher of what had been there before. That was his prediction at the time of Bayis Rishon. There will come a time, he prophesies, when the elderly, the most vulnerable, will be sitting joyously in the streets of Jerusalem. Ad sheloin iskaiman nevuasei shel Uriah, hayisi misyorei sheloin iskaiin nevuasei shel Zechariah. Until I had seen with my own eyes the nevuah of Uriah coming true, I would never have believed that the nevuah of Zechariah would come true. Here we are standing. We can see Shu'olim Halchubai. We can see that there is such a lack of Kedusha, such a lack of anything in Har HaBayis, that the prophecy of Uriah has come to pass. Ah, now I am happy. Now I know that the Nevuah of Zechariah, Yeshua Zekeinim Zekeinois Berchei Bais Yerushalayim, will also come true. In which case, Amru Loi Akiva Nichamtonu, Akiva Nichamtonu. They said to him, Akiva, you have pacified us. Akiva, you have consoled us. Thank you for giving us this chiddush. I want to ask you a question. It's a very obvious question. And the question is, if you see a prophecy coming true, but that prophecy is pretty dreadful, even if you believe that the prophecy that's a good one is going to come true, it doesn't mean you're going to be happy, right? Where's the joy in that? It means you're going to be hopeful. It means that you're going to have some satisfaction that there was a prophecy which was negative, but Baruch Hashem, there's a positive prophecy that we can look forward to. Why would he laugh? Why would he be joyous? Even if we're going to say that sometimes Chazal used exaggerated language because they want to promote a certain idea, still it's very strong, isn't it? He's laughing, they're crying. This image, this dramatic image, what is it really telling us? And I believe we've misinterpreted the Gemara. I believe that we've misunderstood the Gemara. And the Gemara is telling us something very simple. The Gemara is telling us, unless you cry, you're never going to laugh. Unless there are people who recognize the destruction of Yerushalayim, there will never be people who will be hopeful for it to be rebuilt. How many times have we all been to Yerushalayim? Dare I say, I've been many times myself. What is my focus? Stay in a nice hotel, make sure we have the biggest buffet breakfast.
going to go on outings, going to visit family, going to go to the coastal, we're going to do the coastal, right? So in America, you do something. I did Rome, I did Paris, I did the coastal. I came there, it was great, I met so many friends, we davened, we went to the Kalbach Minyan in the corner on Friday night. Really? That's our relationship with the coastal? That's our relationship with Yerushalayim? After 2,000 years of destruction, we did the coastal, we went there for 20 minutes, and we stuck a paper in the wall and we said a few kapitlach tillim, met a few friends and then went back for a big breakfast. That's the coastal? What hope do we have that the Beis HaMikdash will ever be rebuilt if we don't see it b'churbana? What hope do we have that the Beis HaMikdash will ever be rebuilt if we don't see Shu'olim Holchim Boy and cry? Do you know why Rabbi Akiva can laugh? Because he saw his three colleagues crying. It was only as a result of him realizing that Uriah's Nevuah had come true through their reaction to seeing the fox that he could be hopeful. That Yeshua Zakenim was Zakenais Berchevais Yerushalayim. Do you know why we commemorate Shiva Asavatamuz, the breach of the wall of Yerushalayim? Because when we come to Yerushalayim, we have to see the broken wall. Not just the Beis HaMikdash. We have to see the Tselem Baheichal, two almighty structures, buildings on Har HaBayis. They're there right now. Not 2,000 years ago. Not in the time of Uriah. Not in the time of Zechariah. They are there right now. You know, you get a picture postcard from Yerushalayim. What is it you see on it? They show you a picture of the old city. This beautiful gold dome. That gold dome is a Tselem Baheichal. That's what you should be seeing. More recently I've seen they created sukkah decorations where they've taken them out. Even that's no good. Don't hang it up in your sukkah. But see the Dome of the Rock, see Al-Aqsa Mosque, see a Tselem Baheichal, see a breach in the walls of Yerushalayim. Enable yourself to cry about the destruction of Yerushalayim if we want to anticipate it being rebuilt. My grandfather taught me a valuable lesson. If I go to the Kaisel, I'm going to see such destruction and devastation, I won't be able to handle it because I want the Har HaBayis to contain the Beis HaMikdash. In and of itself, the Kaisel... By the way, this is not a political party broadcast. I'm not suggesting that we should go with grenade launchers or bombs, and you know, you hear these stories about what should have happened in 1967, what shouldn't. That's not what I'm discussing. I'm simply discussing a reality that Har HaBayis has a Tselem Baheichal. My friends, if on Shiva Asav HaTammuz and Tisha B'Av we can recognize the devastation of Tselem Baheichal, of the breach of the wall of Yerushalayim, and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, then as Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, once we've cried, we can laugh. As Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, we can recognize the first prophecy has come true, and therefore, Bimhera v'yomenu, the second one will also come true. Thank you.
Sholem is the same
interest as Yishmur. Yeah. Ben Akasha wrote a Gleshbog, Lezakris is short of a mitzvah. Schneemar doyle, for the man, the Yavir. Skadal, the Skadash, Shemein Abba.